You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to Mission Point. We're so glad you're in God's house this morning. And I thank the Lord for what we feel in the house of the Lord today. Amen. God is so good. Amen. He is so good. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 11. And we're going to minister the word of the Lord to you this morning. And we still have some things that we're going to do throughout the rest of the service. But we want to share the word of the Lord with you today. John chapter 11, and we'll begin with verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, Master, the Master has come and calleth for thee. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come with Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. I want you to notice both Mary and Martha both state that if Jesus had been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the shortest verse of the Bible, Jesus wept. This is the story this morning that I'm taking my text from to minister to you today that he is alive. He is alive. If you look at the passage that I've read, if you go back to the scriptures that are happening just before this passage, you'll see that Jesus has come in contact with the information that Lazarus is sick unto death. And you'll see in the scriptures that Jesus says that he's asleep. And, of course, the disciples think that maybe he's just sleeping. And Jesus plainly said to them that Lazarus is dead. He's dead. He's not just asleep. He is dead. And it's in this passage that we first get to hear about Thomas, who is called Didymus. He is mentioned in other scriptures as in part of the 12, but this is really the first mention of Thomas that we have some information about Thomas. And Thomas is encouraging the disciples to go to Judea to see where Lazarus is. And the Bible states that he said that we may even be killed. We don't know if he's being totally sarcastic about that or if he's being serious, because obviously Thomas had some faith issues, but Jesus waits 4 days before he decides that he's going to go and visit Lazarus. Now, what's interesting about that, that's not just because he was trying to be hard to get along with. It's not just because Jesus was being stubborn. You have to understand the traditions of the day. The rabbinic traditions taught that the deceased spirit hovered above the body for 3 days before leaving. So Jesus was making sure that he surpassed those 3 days, that there would be any thought that he was actually not dead. He wanted to make sure everyone knew that Lazarus was dead. Martha believed that Jesus could have done something about it if he had have just been there. Her faith is expressed in verse 22. Jesus, if you had just been here, we know that something could have happened. And Jesus was affirming her faith in verse 23. But it limited Jesus' statement because it looks that it's going to an eschatological significance that some time in the future that people would be raised from the dead. And this last day experience, that this is when Lazarus would actually come back to life, and Jesus was limited by Martha's statement. But then it's when Jesus gives the fifth I am statement, that his ability to raise the dead comes forth. And this is not just in some distant future, folks. This is something that Jesus is stating to Martha at that very moment, that right in front of you is the I am. The I am. I am, he said, the resurrection and the life. Jesus is offering superior life that transcends any mortality. And you see that written by Paul in Romans chapter 8. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lazarus was a very close friend to Jesus, and he had become sick unto death. And Jesus is informed of his severe sickness, but instead of immediately going to where he was, he waited until he was truly dead. And upon his arrival, Mary and Martha are so distraught about the death of their brother. And their response is based upon, if Jesus had been there, it could have been different. They both believed that if he had just been present, then things would have been, or the opportunity for a miracle would have been available. Neither sister understood the omnipotence of Christ, that he has to be absolutely present in person to perform a miracle. But their focus was rather on the need for Jesus to be there to actually heal Lazarus. And Jesus gives these great words that I want to speak to you this morning to help them with their lack of understanding in verses 25 and 26. He gives them these powerful words this morning to let you know how important it is that he is alive. People have no problem believing that Jesus died. And people don't even have problems believing that Jesus was buried. And those things are true and have been confirmed. But the actual power is not just that he died and was buried, but on this resurrection morning that we are representing here today, I come to tell you that he is alive. He is alive. I don't just come to church because it's a tradition. I don't just come to church because it's some type of religion. I don't just come to church because you're here. I come to church this morning because he is alive. It's because he's alive that my life has been changed. It's because he is alive that I have hope this morning. He is alive. And this is what he states. He says to them, I am the resurrection and the life. This I am that Jesus was stating is the fifth I am that's spoken in the book of John. You can go back to John chapter 6 and he says, I am the bread of life. John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. John chapter 10, he says, I am the door. John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. John 14, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And in John 15, he says, I am the vine. But what he's saying right here is a powerful statement. I am the resurrection and the life. What Jesus was speaking in that moment was beyond their comprehension of how powerful that it would be. Oh yes, he's there in person, and this has happened before. He has died, but he's being prophetic to them that this is not the beginning and this is not the end. I am. He is the resurrection and the life. This is confirmed in John chapter 8. Jesus is answering the Jews in verse 48 and says unto them, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, for there's one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead in the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, which makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Notice what he says. "Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? How can it be that you stand before us and you try to say that you've seen Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. This is thousands of years ago." And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." He's making it very clear. He's stating to them with all clarity, before Abraham ever existed, I was. Before Abraham ever was, I am. After Abraham is gone, I will be. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is saying that he is the bread. He's the light of the world. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. He's divine. But he is the resurrection and the life. He was right there in front of them. And he's stating to them that the I am that you're looking for is right here. He goes on to say in that verse, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." What a powerful statement about believing in God. He that believeth. That's the beginning of your relationship with God. That's where your faith is activated. Everybody in this room this morning has a measure of faith. If you've believed in God in the past or if you've never believed in God, you have a measure of faith, and the scripture says you have it. And if you'll just reach out and activate that faith this morning, it'll cause something inside of you to believe. You may not even understand everything. I don't. Amen. I've been serving him for decades, and I'm still learning. But there's something inside of me that was activated a long time ago that caused me to believe in him. And when John wrote this powerful chapter 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to become his children, even to them that believe on his name. And John said that word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This morning, if you would just activate the faith that is inside of you, it will lead you into a believing of who he is. He is the I am. He's the resurrection and the life, but that won't do anything for you until you believe on him. But I can guarantee you today, if you activate your faith and you say, "I'm just going to take a risk. I'm going to believe in him in some capacity," something will happen in your life this morning. Everybody that's watching or listening online today, if you just activate a little bit of that faith that he put in you when he created you, something will be happening in your life this morning. Believing will begin. And this disciple which went with Jesus to Judea, the one who struggled with believing, it's interesting that in the passage that I read to you, Thomas is the one mentioned. He's not the only disciple there, but Thomas is the one who's mentioned. And you see, after Jesus has died and he's resurrected, and you read it in John chapter 20, Thomas is still having a hard time believing. He's still struggling with believing. In John chapter 20, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. This is after the resurrection. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. Notice now, I will not believe. This is the statement that's being made by Thomas. And after 8 days, the Bible says, the disciples were within and Thomas was with them. And all of a sudden, Jesus came, the doors being shut. He stood in the midst and said unto them, for most of us, just Jesus coming through the side of the house would be enough. But he showed up without the doors ever being open. And he reached to one person who was having a trouble in believing who he was. And he said to Thomas, he said, reach hither thy finger, Thomas, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, Thomas, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. We have no proof of any other reason why the nail prints were left in the hands of Jesus, or why the spear mark was left in the side. There may be other reasons, but we don't have it that we know of, except for one person that said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, and unless I see the spear mark in his side, I'm going to have trouble believing. And when Jesus showed up, he said, Thomas, take your finger and put it into my hand. Take your hand and put it into my side, Thomas. And instantly his faith was activated, and he said, my Lord and my God. Not only are you the Messiah, but you are the Almighty, my Lord and my God. Notice what Jesus says to Thomas immediately following this. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He may not be standing here in actual human form this morning, but there's a whole group of people that have taken their hand and put it into the hand of the Master. There's a whole group of people that stretched forth their faith and said, I'm going to believe in the resurrection and the life. I'm going to believe in the power that happened on Resurrection Day. And Paul highlights it to the church in Rome. Just because someone struggles with believing, it does not diminish the power of God. Romans 3, for what if some did not believe, he says. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Just because someone has struggles with believing, it does not diminish how powerful God is. But I can guarantee you this morning, even if you can't figure it all out, we join all together in the same mindset. But we know that there is a risen Christ, and that risen Christ has power this morning to touch yours and my life. And because of that power, I can believe. It's the believing that starts me on the process of a great walk with God. Jesus was stating to both Mary and Martha that if they could just believe, the miracle was possible for Lazarus to live, not just in the last days, but right now. And you notice the third thing that Jesus states after he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me. Notice what he says next in verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. This takes it to a whole new level. It's not just about you believing, but it's also about you living it. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Understanding that believing is not just enough, but rather the beginning. The living is the daily process, the continual effort, the daily walk, the living sacrifice that you offer on a daily basis. A daily renewing in which the flesh dies daily, and I allow God to rule my life and I submit myself to Him. Jesus' response to Mary and Martha is, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you can just believe that, it will start you on a journey that you can live. He's not just talking about a natural life. He's talking about a spiritual life that you and I have possibilities to this morning. I'm so thankful for the power of the resurrection, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And it's not just something I believe today. It's something that I live. Believing will get you so far, but your life will be changed when you live it. When you live what you believe, something happens inside of you that understands He is alive. It takes you from religion to relationship. It takes you from tradition. And I'm not against all that stuff. I'm just saying that won't keep you. It takes you from the tradition to a relationship with Him. That it doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you're facing. Doesn't matter who else is around. If you understand He's alive, and you believe that He's the resurrection and the life, and you allow your life to live that, you won't be the same. You will not be the same. Notice what Jesus' response to that is. He says these three things, and then he puts Martha on the spot. Believest thou this? Jesus is asking her, can you get an understanding that right here in front of you is the power of life and death? The power to change your life or not. Can you grasp, Martha, that right in front of you is the I am? Before Abraham was, I am. The same one that Moses was given instruction for the deliverance. Who do I say that has sent me? Well, say that the I am has sent you. Jesus is making it clear to Martha at this moment. If you can just believe, Martha, and allow that to become part of your life, then the miraculous is possible because He is alive. He is alive. Oh, I wish someone would say it with me this morning. He is alive. He is alive. This is not just church on an Easter Sunday. He is alive today. As we go into the next segment of our service about how powerful He is about being alive, I lead you to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And everyone that desires to take communion with us this morning, if you haven't received a cup and you would like to take communion, I want to just raise your hand and the ushers will get you one if you don't have one yet. I think I want to make sure everyone's got one that wants one. If you see any hands, ushers. And it leads us into a very solemn time of understanding why he is alive. This is not just a tradition this morning. This is not just another part of a service. This is the reason he is alive this morning that gives me a hope. Someone that needs a, over here, anyone? There's a couple over here that need them. Anyone who doesn't have a cup this morning? One up here in the center, up in the front. Couple there. I want to make sure everyone's got a cup if they want one. And if you'll notice on the cup, there's a very thin layer at the top that reveals the wafer. So you'll want to take that very thin layer off first. Is there anyone else? I just want to make sure before. Over on this side, one more over here. One more up here. Because communion leads us into three different questions. It makes us think about where we came from, what we used to be. When you think of communion, it'll cause you to think about what you used to be. See, what's so important about that he's alive is you don't have to be what you used to be. Because of the power of Jesus being alive, you and I get to be free from the past. If you were part of the teaching class this morning, that's what we talked about, being free from the guilt of the past. Communion makes you think about where you came from. Communion makes you look at your life right now. God, where am I right now with you? It brings you to the knowledge of taking inventory of your heart and your life and your mind right now. God, where is my relationship with you right now? God, I'm trying. I'm wanting to be closer to you. I'm reaching out to you in the best way possible, God. And the third thing that communion does is it leads you into where God has plans for you and the purpose he has for your life and where he's taken you. And what he desires to do through your life. And so sometimes people ask, who can take communion? And it's a simple answer for me. Anyone who's praying on their own, that's reaching out to God in a relationship with him in some capacity. It's not about perfection. It's about I want to commune with him. And I want to be in a place with him where I realize where I've come from, where I am right now, and where he's taken me. All of it is based upon that he is alive. And so Paul wrote it to the Corinthian church, and he gives us some description of how to take communion. And so before we do that, we're going to pray over the emblems. What you have in front of you is just a representation of his broken body and his shed blood. It's a representation of what he did for you at Calvary. And on that resurrection morning became alive so that you and I could have life this morning. And so I pray this morning over those emblems, the broken body, the bread, the wafer, and the drink, which is a representation of his shed blood that he shed at Calvary for the behalf of you and I. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the power that happened at Calvary. And I thank you, Lord, for the supreme sacrifice, God, that you gave. That each and every one that's in this room this morning, God, could have the liberty and the freedom to experience you in a powerful dimension. I thank you, God, for that possibility this morning. And I pray, God, let your blessing be upon these emblems right now. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'm thankful for his broken body. I'm thankful for his broken body. Thank you, Jesus. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Could you just raise a hand where you are right now and thank him for the power of him being alive? I thank you, Jesus, for the authority of you being alive this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the power of you being alive today, God. I thank you, Jesus, for your broken body and your shed blood at Calvary. That, God, when they laid you in that tomb, hallelujah, Lord, on resurrection morning, something happened, hallelujah, that changed the trajectory of our lives forever. You are alive. Hallelujah. He is alive this morning. When you start preaching about him being alive, you realize the testimony of how powerful that is to you as an individual. George Knopfler, and I have been given permission to share this information. I wouldn't do it without his permission. But on March the 3rd, George was walking the dog and suddenly collapsed to the ground. A couple bystanders called authorities and the police arrived and instantly started CPR until the paramedics arrived. And the timeline of him being unresponsive was approximately 35 minutes. George had to be shocked 3 times on the way to the hospital by the paramedics. But as I sat with George on Wednesday of this past week, I was amazed at the absolute miracle that has taken place in his life. Besides some short-term memory, George is an absolute miracle. You know why? He is alive. What a testimony of God's miracle working power and the wonderful medical profession. A policeman's response was that he had been on the part of the force for more than 22 years. And had never seen such a miracle that happened for George on that day. Folks, that didn't just happen because Jesus died and was buried. That happened because he is alive. He is alive. George is alive this morning because he is alive. Luke 24, in closing, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments, and they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you looking for someone where the dead are that is alive? He's not here, they said, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And the Bible says, yea, and certain women also of the company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that he had also been seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Folks, we're in an apostolic Pentecostal church this morning. Would you say it with me? He is alive. Certain of them which went with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. Verse 36, and as they spake, thus spake Jesus himself, stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do the thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for my spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. He is alive. You and I have the opportunity this morning to come into the house of God and to experience his wonderful presence today. Not just because it's Easter Sunday. That's awesome. And maybe you've had your turkey or ham or something already, I don't know. And maybe you're going to have it later. That's okay too. And maybe you're going to get together with family and friends and fellowship, and that's wonderful. All that stuff is good. And I'm thankful for the time and the fellowship and the time when we can get together. I thank God for that. But I'm here to tell you the great truth this morning. The great truth is not that he just died and was buried, but he resurrected. He is alive.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.